Welcome to the Bob Harden Show, bringing you news and commentary to keep you informed and enjoying life on the Paradise Coast. And now, here's your host, Bob Harden.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by the good folks at Johnson's Air Conditioning. Johnson's Air Conditioning is Naples' longest established air conditioning company, and I hope you'll visit the website and give them a call. It's johnsonsairconditioning.com. Also brought to you by Naples Illustrated, bringing you infinite luxury lifestyles. The website is naplesillustrated.com. We've got terrific guests for today's show, including our state senator, Kathleen Passidomo. We'll visit with Boo Mortensen up in Madison, Wisconsin, find out what's new with Boo. Seton Motley is the founder and president of Less Government, and Emily Mooney is a resident fellow in criminal justice and civil liberties at the R Street Institute. We'll be talking about criminal justice reform for juveniles here in the state of Florida. It is July the 14th, and on this day in 1789, Parisian revolutionaries and mutinous troops stormed and dismantled the Bastille, a royal fortress and prison that had come to symbolize the tyranny of the Bourbon monarchs. This dramatic action signaled the beginning of the French Revolution, a decade of political turmoil and terror in which King Louis XVI was overthrown and tens of thousands of people, including the king and his wife Marie Antoinette, were executed. The capture of the Bastille symbolized the end of the ancient regime and provided the French revolutionary cause with an irresistible momentum. In 1792, the monarchy was abolished, and Louis and his wife Marie Antoinette were sent to the guillotine for treason in 1793. One distinguishing difference between the United States Revolution and what happened in France, of course, is that while we did fight for our freedom against the English, we had documents drawn up, our Declaration of Independence as well as our Constitution, that allowed us to establish the rule of law, as opposed to, for a couple of years, just total chaos and anarchy in France. Well, happy Bastille Day. And a hat off to Jacques Cariot and his wife at the Blue Provence. Well, there's 245 cases of COVID-19 and no new deaths in Collier County on Monday, bringing a total of 6,465 folks who have tested positive out of 43,763 tests. That's a little over 14%. The county's death, for whatever that's worth, the county's death toll remains at 94. And according to the state, which total cases increased to 6,465, as I mentioned, a total of 452 people in Collier County have been hospitalized, but that number is only 189 patients that are currently being treated in Collier County hospitals. So, of course, more than half, well over half, have been released. So, again, the two big numbers here that we want to watch are deaths and hospitalizations, and not the number of new cases. More cases, but no surge in hospitalizations or deaths. Pretty much the same pattern in all of Florida. And updated guidance, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention said its best estimate is that 40% of people infected with COVID-19 are asymptomatic. In June, an official word from the World Health Organization said the spread from asymptomatic patients appears to be very rare. That's right. The spread from asymptomatic patients seems to be very rare. That from the World Health Organization. The comments were walked back a few days later following a criticism from many in the scientific community, including Dr. Anthony Fauci, who said the statement was not correct. That's so interesting. So the corona panic porn just never ends. What can you believe? Well, what I believe is that this is a very contagious virus. But I think it's much more than 40% that are asymptomatic. And I think that it's going to spread. We can slow the spread by wearing masks and so forth, but it's going to spread, and inevitably, I think it'll die out. Just my opinion. I'm no doctor. Hey, I want to make a comment about the false accusations and information that's being passed around about the elections. Of course, the mail-in ballots were distributed throughout Florida, and at the same time, or through Collier County. At the same time, we're seeing this. I got an email from concerned conservatives about fake conservatives, and they mentioned Byron Donalds as a fake conservative. Nothing could be further from the truth, and now they're just fanning the, just trying to circulate information to create doubt about Byron Donalds, who I think is an outstanding conservative to represent us in the House of Representatives. It's just a shame that people start throwing dirt and slime at this point in the elections, trying to win in the last minute. They spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on a campaign and want to win by spreading smut. It's just really too bad. Byron Donalds, born-again Christian, grew up in New York, single mom. He's created a great life, and he will do a great job as our representative. So whatever stuff you're reading about him, if it says he's a fake conservative, that certainly is not true. He understands the Constitution as well or better than anybody else. Byron Donalds for our United States representative. Well, in what is turning out to be a spectacular backfire, Goya products are being cleaned out of grocery store shelves, and what is being dubbed Chick-fil-A, the Chick-fil-A effect. Namely, leftists have called for a boycott over the brand after the CEO publicly praised President Donald Trump. Instead, conservatives took matters in their own hands and are now reportedly buying more Goya products than they normally would to show support for the company. Its CEO and the president, it's being called a boycott. And the Goya CEO refused to apologize for comments praising President Donald Trump. As a result, many liberals announced they were boycotting his company. Now you can't even find the products on the shelves. I'm not kidding. It's just unbelievable. He calls it suppression of speech. Well, it's all backfired, which I think is a great thing. By the way, I went to Oaks Farms Seed to Table yesterday. And as I reported yesterday, they filed a federal lawsuit Thursday against the Lee County School District, which has dumped its multi-million dollar deal, in which the firm from the CEO called George Floyd a disgraceful career criminal. Alfie Oaks also had declared the COVID-19 Black Lives Matter movement are hoaxes. Well, he was certainly outspoken. I'm not sure if COVID-19 is a hoax. May have appeared so at the time, but irrespective, he certainly has the right to say that. Free speech, both of these cases, Goya Foods and Seed to Table, all about free speech. He has the right to say these things. Well, irrespective, Lee County's yanked a multi-million dollar contract, and he's suing him for $50 million. So I think he's got a very good case. I think he'll win. Alfie Oaks, I invited him on the show on Friday to talk about all this. So we'll have Alfie Oaks. He's also running for the, let's see, what is it? What is the exact title list? It's called the Republican State Committeeman, and he's running. We'll hear from him about not only that, but everything that's happening. By the way, Seat at Table, first time we've been there. Unbelievable. If you haven't been there, go over there and take a look at the. Everything is so fresh and wonderful. But also, you can pick out stuff, and you can have it brought right upstairs, and you can sit there and have a glass of wine or a beer, whatever you want, and have a wonderful meal as well. I just strongly encourage you, if you haven't been to Seed the Table, we waited because we heard that parking was difficult, but now that the season is over, you can find a parking place. It's really terrific. By the way, they have valet parking. Well, progressive billionaire George Soros' philanthropic organization, Open Society Foundations, announced yesterday that it will donate $220 million to groups focused on, quote-unquote, racial justice. You know what that means, more violence. The Open Society Foundation has added that the donations will help the movement to end policing as we know it. That's right. End policing. This is imagining, reimagining policing or whatever. This is just nonsense. Anyhow, the organization plans on investing $150 million alone into five-year grants for organizations aimed at achieving equal statistical outcomes between demographic groups in economics and criminal justice. The other $70 million is said to be going towards more immediate efforts to address racial justice. Groups expected to receive funds include Black Voters Matter and Repairs of the Breach. The announcement comes after public records revealed Soros will donate or double his 2016 election spending, which was $20 million at the time. He's now going to invest $40 million. That's a separate $40 million from the $220 million in order to defeat President Donald Trump's re-election campaign. Soros has poured money into the coffers of the Democracy PAC, a super PAC that passes money to other liberal PACs working to defeat Trump and congressional Republicans. The PAC has received $40 million, double the $20 million it received through 2016. Unbelievable. This guy is funding district attorney races, these people that won't enforce law. You know, this woman in St. Louis that had a raid on the couple that protected themselves with weapons. Well, that's right. She actually raided and confiscated his rifle. Well, that's what George Soros funds. He funds people that do that type of thing, which is just unbelievable. By the way, former Vice President Joe Biden told a select group of reporters yesterday that he's confident that he will win the election and that America is ready for a systemic and institutional changes that will transform the country. Sounds like old Sleepy Joe is buying into the Soros game plan. We better be prepared. There's never been a more important election now. We need to elect the likes of President Donald Trump, reelect him, and Byron Donalds for Congress. This segment of the show brought to you by the good folks at Johnson's Air Conditioning, Naples' longest established air conditioning company. Visit johnsonsairconditioning.com. Also brought to you by Naples Illustrated, bringing you infinite luxury lifestyles. Visit the website naplesillustrated.com. Okay, coming up, we're going to visit with Kathleen Passidomo, our state senator. That and more right here in the Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of the Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bob Harden, the host of the Bob Harden Show. One of my favorites for breakfast or lunch is Lulabee's Diner, providing great service, fabulous food, and a rockin' good time. Lulabee's Diner is a throwback to the 60s, complete with great music and a fabulous 60s decor. What I like best is a blend of great food, great value, and terrific service. Most of the friendly waitstaff has been part of Lulabee's for years. I enjoy the great choices for breakfast and lunch, and you'll find the menu has everything and anything to satisfy your taste. Lulabee's offers catering, party platters, lunch boxes, and more. Lulabee's Diner will quickly become one of your favorites for breakfast or lunch. No reservations are needed. Check out the website at lulabees.com and stop by Lulabee's Diner, open from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. 7 days a week. Lulabee's Diner in the Green Tree Shopping Center at the corner of Immokalee and Airport Pulling Roads. Stop by Lulabee's Diner for fabulous food and for a forever cool, rockin' good time. Gulf Shore Playhouse, devoted to creating professional New York-style theater at its very best and at affordable prices, presents a fabulous new season of productions beginning in November with a world premiere of a one-man show written by and starring the talented Associate Artistic Director of Gulf Shore Playhouse, Jeffrey Binder. Pinup Girls opens in January, singing a cavalcade of hits inspired by real letters from our troops overseas. Inspired by what they find funny, romantic, heartbreaking, and sexy, the ladies put on a show that celebrate the guys and gals who fight to defend our country. Bang Bang opens in March, written by legendary actor of Monty Python fame, John Cleese. You'll surely be wiping away tears of laughter with this one. William Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream opens in March. Meddling parents, impetuous young lovers, and cunning fairies collide in Shakespeare's enchanting classic. Another Revolution by Jacqueline Bircher opens in May. You won't want to miss this timely new work about finding hope in one another through the uncertainty of the world around us. What a terrific season of productions. Tickets for this great new season are available now. Tickets start at only $38. Tickets can be purchased by calling the box office at 866-811-4111 or visiting the website golfshoreplayhouse.org. We'll see you at the show.
Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by Gulf Shore Playhouse, bringing you professional New York-style theater at its very best. You just heard about the great season lined up. You can get tickets now at a nice discount. You can also find out more about the great education programs for young people in your life at GulfShorePlayhouse.org. Coming up, we're going to be visiting with Emily Mooney. She's a resident fellow at the R Street Institute. Right now, we have with us our state senator, Kathleen Pasadomo. Kathleen, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning. I hope you're doing well and avoiding all the coronavirus stuff.
Well, I'm trying. unlike a lot of others, I do wear my mask when I'm not in public. And that's my choice, and I feel my responsibility. And I'm getting used to it now. You get different colors, different style, so we're good.
Well, that's great. What I really want to emphasize is the importance of making a conscious decision as opposed to be told what to do, which is the operation in most, like what's happening in California. It's just unbelievable. I'm just so proud of our governor for saying, look, we're going to open the state and we're going to be cautious. We're going to look for hot spots. I think his decision, how he's proceeding, is just terrific.
Well, his number one priority has been, and he continues to say, is the vulnerable population of our residents in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and making sure they're safe. What's interesting is I have been getting tons of emails from people who have a loved one in a nursing home or assisted living facility who haven't seen them since March, and the toll on the families and their loved one who haven't seen family members are confused, frightened, and the like.
Right.
And I don't know what to say to them because I don't think there's any other option other than to keep the entire facility safe.
Right. The deaths in Florida are half of them. I looked it up yesterday. Half of them are occurring in long-term care facilities. So there's real reason for concern for people there. And it's just a lot of conflicting information. So unfortunately, it's, you have the CDC declaring one thing one day and another thing the other. But it seems to me the governor's focused on leveling the curve. What's the curve? Well, it's the number of hospitalizations due to coronavirus. And it's leveled. I've checked it out this morning. And deaths, no deaths in Collier County yesterday. So seems to me we're focused on the right things. It looks like this virus is going to spread irrespective of what we do.
Well, then I think you're right. I had a conversation with Dr. Rizkis, our Surgeon General, this past weekend, and he said it is not going to get better before it gets worse. They're going to be, particularly because of all the traveling on the July 4th weekend, with the two-week period, there will be more cases. The issue will be how sick are they going to be? Hospitalization rate will go up because some will be sick, and then there will be deaths coming from that. So we've got another month of this spike. Mm-hmm. The problem will be, the problem really is the continued spread, and also you can't open up fully with that because you just don't know how sick people are going to get. And that's why I feel personally responsible to wear a mask. But also, I have a 97-year-old father, a 95-year-old mom who live on their own. And, I'm the only family member here, and so I see them regularly. I would hate either of them to get ill because of me, that I would have got it from someone else. So, that's why I tell everyone, just think about it. If not yourself, just think about a third person you come in contact with that may have others that they could get sick. And that's the personal responsibility that I keep talking about. And unfortunately, I've been to several events. As I'm out and about all the time where I'm the only one wearing masks in 50 to 100 people.
Right.
And it's amazing to me. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's what you just described is that the reasons why you're choosing and taking the action you are, and what I really embrace is your opportunity to make your own decision based on your own circumstances. That to me, I just really give a lot of praise to the governor for doing that.
Yeah, and I do too. I think he that's how he feels. He has also said, The hard part is enforcement. You certainly couldn't, if you had an ordinance or a law to that effect, how do you enforce it? You can't put people in jail. That would be...
Well, you have a hotline so you can call and rat on your neighbors.
Well, and there's a lot of that going on. You know, people get pretty belligerent. I hear that all the time. And it's true. If you walk into a store, I mean, I'm okay. I feel like I'm hidden. I've got my mask on. But when people don't, you know, people stare at them, mutter under their breath.
I know.
You know, it's
virtue shaming going on all over the city. Virtue signaling. Hey, before I let you go, I do want to talk about this at this very time when, of course, the mail-in ballots or absentee ballots, whatever you want to call them, are sent out. We're seeing the smut being slung from different organizations. I'm looking at one here, Concerned Conservatives, has sent out this stuff calling candidates fake conservatives. It's just unbelievable what people will stoop to. It's unbelievable.
It is difficult. In my opinion, it's wrong. I think voters are smarter than that. But on the other hand, you just don't know. And particularly in the CD19, because there's so many candidates, and they're all bashing each other over the head.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whoever we end up with is going to be a good candidate for a Republican caucus. But I hate the way that they're attacking each other. Personally, I just want to look at the information. And now, with the way... you could go online and you could see interviews. Make a decision based upon the person themselves and not on the ads that third parties are putting out and spending money on.
Such a good admonition, because it happens almost every election cycle. In fact, I can't recall an election cycle when it didn't happen, where at this very time, all of a sudden you start... I remember when Kurt Clausen showed up on the State House steps on the... These candidates are going to make claims against him, and they ended up running off like rats on a sinking ship.
Exactly. And you know, it gets down. Even I've never had anything where there have been ads about the state committee people that I've been seeing and getting emails on that are contained so much false information.
Yeah.
I'm just appalled, and I'm embarrassed for our party that you know, people that want to help our Republican cause sending out misinformation about their competitors. It's appalling.
Well, and also the context, you know, Byron Donalds, of course, I endorse Byron, and I can say that because, mm-hmm. but, you know, I know you can't make a comment, but I endorse Byron Donalds, and, you know, he came out of a single family. A single mom raised him in New York. He was a registered Democrat at one time before he learned the truth about what's going on. He's a born-again Christian. You know, so you have to judge the person on basic who he is right now. And
right,
it's just a shame to see, with people that don't know the full story, it's just a shame to see the smut thrown around. So
It is. And one just hopes that at the end people will see through it and will do their own homework. Our residents are pretty savvy.
That's right.
We'll see.
Absolutely. By the way, I want to do a little, if you go to flcaction.org, you'll see actual interviews of candidates it's a forum that the candidates talk about their positions and various things. It's a great opportunity to quote-unquote meet the candidates virtually. So it's on flcaction.org. Kathleen, it's always a pleasure to get your commentary here on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, and have a great day.
You as well. Thank you, Kathleen. All right, coming up, we're going to be visiting with Boo Mortensen. It's time to find out what's new with Boo up in Madison, Wisconsin. We're going to do that and more right here on the Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of the Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Blue Provence Restaurant is a favorite dining destination for many Neapolitans, including Lynn and myself. Blue Provence, located in a historic building in the heart of Old Naples at Creighton Cove, offers a mix of French bistro cooking with bold, fresh Floridian flavors. Experience award-winning cuisine at Blue Provence and enjoy one of Florida's most extensive, eclectic, and fun wine cellars. Dining your choice of the popular Eden Bar, the intimate Courtyard Garden, or the beautiful Provençal Caribbean Dining Room. Enjoy a wonderful and memorable evening in a casual and relaxed atmosphere that includes a taste of Provençal hospitality. Blue Provence is open 7 days a week, all year round. Visit BlueProvenceNaples.com for reservations, everyday specials, and coming events. That's BlueProvenceNaples.com or call 261-8239. That's 261-8239. Blue Provence, French restaurant in the heart of Old Naples.
Do you have an extra auto you'd like to donate to charity? Maximize your tax deduction, support your favorite charity, and help a local child in need by calling Naples Auto Donation Center. Naples Auto Donation Center is a not-for-profit licensed car dealer. Just call NADC at 692-9840 and they'll take it from there. You get a properly documented tax deduction for whatever the vehicle actually sells for. Your designated beneficiary charity gets half the profit after fix-up costs, and the net revenue generated by NADC goes to Friends of Foster Children to provide tutoring and other enrichment activities for foster children the government doesn't provide. And NADC is also one of the few places in Collier County that sells inexpensive cars that actually run to folks who would otherwise not be able to afford one. It's a real win-win. Call Naples Auto Donation Center at 692-9840 or visit the website nadckids.com. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by the Foundation for Government Accountability, creating policies and programs to get able-bodied folks off of welfare and back to work. It's a moral imperative, and you can find out more by find out more about this and other initiatives by going to the website thefga.org. Coming up, we're going to visit with Seton Motley, the founder and president of Less Government. Right now, it's time to find out what's new with Boo Mortensen, right there in Madison, Wisconsin. Boo, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's always different in the Midwest than it is in deep Florida.
It is indeed, and so I understand.
And you have a city, Miami and Broward County, that are hot spots.
Yes,
clearly. Well, we have Milwaukee. And today, they instituted you have to wear masks indoors and outdoors. Now, I visualize myself walking or playing golf outdoors wearing a mask, which won't be easy. But what about all these construction workers? How can they do this?
Yeah. Boo, it's again, I come back to these elected officials making decisions that really belong to the individual, quite frankly. I mean, people can assess their own personal circumstances, and I think people look after their own best interests. Some people don't, and you can avoid them. That's how it works. But that is absurd. Wearing a mask can be detrimental to your health.
Absolutely. I think so. And you've got somebody that's doing heavy physical labor outside in the heat.
Yeah.
And to wear a mask, they're going to drop like flies.
Yeah. It's just, it makes people irritable to be told what to do like that. It's just unbelievable. I think there's going to be real consequences. Yeah, my personal opinion, we need to respect this virus. It's extremely contagious. There's no question about that. But the fact of the matter is that the real concern should be hospitalizations due to coronavirus and deaths. And what I see in Florida, for example, I haven't checked out Wisconsin, but in Florida, the number of deaths is not escalating substantially. In fact, there's been a little dip. And hospitalizations are pretty, we flattened the curve. So, if in fact it's being spread quickly, that should not be a concern until we see those two things going up.
Well, in Dane County, let's say there's 600,000 people in Dane County.
Mm-hmm.
We only have 32 deaths.
Wow.
So that's, statistically, that's really low.
Of course. Well,
And we have not had a spike. And why our governor has now decided that everyone has to wear a mask indoors, and there's a fine. if somebody turns you in and the cops, there's a $375 fine.
Unbelievable. You know, I'm looking here, disease deaths per day worldwide. I don't know when this was published, but it was recent. I found it. And apparently, if you have the seasonal flu, out of 1 million people worldwide, 1,027 will die this year. COVID-19 coronavirus, 56. 56. Compare the difference there. I mean, that is so substantial. That's 20 times the deaths from flu as opposed to coronavirus. And yet, did you ever wear a mask because of the flu?
Heck no, I've never worn a mask in my life. No, I hate them.
Right. So, but you have to wear masks. You have to wear a mask indoors now in your city, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
So, what that means is that when you go into a restaurant, you have to wear the mask going into the restaurant. You take it off when you sit down, and then when you walk out of the restaurant, you have to put it back on. This just seems absolutely ludicrous to me. But, you know, if you go to a grocery store, I mean, there are a lot of things that I do with a mask anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for an office worker, for someone that's going to be the few people that are back into offices,
got
to wear a mask.
Very uncomfortable.
And I don't know how that's going to translate into kids going to school. Right now, they don't even know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I have to, I read another article, which is really interesting. You know, every city, we all grew up with malls.
Yeah.
And remember how cool it was, you know, you'd walk in, it was air conditioned, they had music, they had seating areas, escalators. Well, now, so many big anchors like Penny, Sears, Starbucks, Gap, you know, all these stores are now closing, so these malls are like, they're destitute and abandoned for the most part. Well, you know what they're turning some malls into? Into apartment complexes.
Hmm.
Which I think, so an anchor to a refurbished mall would be like, say, a 300-unit apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you'd be, part of a internal village. I think it sounds kind of cool.
It does sound kind of cool, doesn't it? Especially if you had some of the stores that were open there,
yeah.
The groceries and so forth. I mean, it'd be actually a very nice kind of community. Keeping the same structure, I would imagine you have a walking area inside that you'd be able to.
Sure.
That'd be kind of a cool thing. I think that's a good idea.
Easy parking.
Yeah.
Easy parking. You could walk indoors. You know, a lot of people loop malls indoors when they can't walk outside. Seating areas. You could create indoor parks. I don't know. I thought, God, that's one of the cooler things that I've heard lately.
Yeah, you know, I haven't verified this, but you know that we're supposed to have these fantastic movie theaters at the Coastland Mall, and I heard recently that project is not going to proceed. So apparently, the COVID-19 has struck again for that project, which is, I think, by the way, a disappointment because it was a very attractive. We need to fill up the Coastland Mall. Maybe they'll convert that to apartments.
There you go. I think they could. Affordable housing, which is hard to find in Naples.
It is indeed. So happy Bastille Day. Do you have any plans to celebrate?
Well, I can't even relate to Bastille Day. I mean, big whoop. But I can relate to these. Apparently, I don't know who assigned this a national day, but somebody has. This is far more exciting, National Mac and Cheese Day. I like that. And it's National Nude Day. So you eat a big bowl of mac and cheese, and then you dance and prance around your condo with no clothes on. That's got the making of a good day.
So you eat your mac and cheese without your clothes on?
You could do that, too. Yeah, you could do that. It's Nude Day, National Nude Day.
And
now, doesn't it sound a lot more fun than bath?
Well, you could actually speak French while you're doing it, too.
You could put on French music. Music, eat mac and cheeses, and prance around.
Well, you know what? That's great marketing. It is a mac and cheese. Do you eat mac and cheese? You ever had mac and cheese?
Oh, are you kidding me? It's one of the great comfort foods of all time. Yeah, I make it at home. You know, I make it from scratch. If you eat it out of the box, it's kind of a toxic-looking orange.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I gave my kids mac and cheese out of the box for years.
No kidding.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
And you ate it as a kid. You only got healthy later in life.
Now, you know what? You're absolutely right. In fact, I can recall cooking stuff in a skillet with bacon grease.
Oh, that turns anything into something divine. Divine. We used to have a container of bacon grease on the stove.
There you go. Boo Morts, it's always a pleasure to find out what's on your mind. And the idea and the thought of prancing around in the nude eating mac and cheese is somewhat amusing. But I genuinely...
got cachet.
I really appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. My pleasure.
Thank you. All right, coming up, we're going to be visiting with Seton Motley. He's the founder and president of Less Government. We're going to do that and more right here in the Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of the Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
For the best in food and drink, as well as great live entertainment, go to the Dog 2 Sports and Music Bar. Formerly known as Weekend Willie's, the Dog 2 Sports and Music Bar has terrific new local owners offering a great new upscale decor and a fabulous new menu. Linda and I are weekly regulars to hear live blues, but you can stop by anytime for great food and drink, to watch your favorite sporting event, or to hear great live entertainment 5 nights a week. The Dog 2 Sports and Music Bar is located at 5310 Shirley Street, just off Pine Ridge Road, and it's open from 11 a.m. until close every day. Visit the website dogtoothnaples.com or call 431-7004. That's 431-7004. I hope we'll see you there. Did you know St. Matthew's House operates the only emergency homeless shelters in Collier County? St. Matthew's House provided more than 500,000 hot meals to those in need last year, and since 2010, 527 men and women have graduated from the St. Matthew's House Justin's Place Addiction Recovery Program. For over 30 years, St. Matthew's House has provided innovative solutions to fight homelessness, hunger, substance abuse, and poverty in Southwest Florida. And you can help St. Matthew's House in this life-transforming work by patronizing the St. Matthew's House thrift stores, Cafe M25, car wash and detailing center, and award-winning catering operations. For more information, visit stmatthewshouse.org. That's stmatthewshouse.org. St. Matthew's House is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization and does not solicit government funding.
Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by Gulf Shore Playhouse, bringing you professional New York-style theater at its very best. And you get season tickets now at a nice discount by going to gulfshoreplayhouse.org. Coming up, we're going to visit with Emily Mooney. She is a resident fellow at the R Street Institute in Washington, D.C. Right now, we have with us Seton Motley. Seton is the founder and president of Less Government. Seton, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Seton. Tell us about Less Government.
Yeah, we exist to reduce the size, scope, and sphere of influence of government. We're on a very long arc.
Yeah, it certainly are. Yeah, I was just talking with some folks saying that they're just reinstituting up in Wisconsin fines. You have to wear masks indoors and outdoors, and there's a $375 fine. In Wisconsin, Milwaukee.
Oh, you know, you still got the Surgeon General on the record saying masks don't make any difference.
Exactly.
So, Right now.
They do make a difference. They make you sick.
Well, yeah, you're breathing your own CO2. There's a reason you're exhaling what you're exhaling, because you don't want to inhale it again.
Well, that's exactly right. Plus, I heard it compromises your immune system. It makes you more susceptible.
Well, you're not getting fresh air.
Right.
And, of course, fresh air is constantly replenishing your body.
It's the unintended consequences of the road to hell.
I'll give you a real quick story. My new chiropractor down here, who I like a lot, is a good guy. I went to him a couple times, and he disappeared. And he had a pinch hitter for a couple weeks, or months. He had stage 1 pancreatic cancer. They deemed it, to keep the China virus beds empty, they deemed it a non-essential surgery. They waited 4 months. By the time they got let him in to get the surgery, it was stage two pancreatic cancer. This is how... Meanwhile, of course, the beds were empty for 4 months.
Yeah. You know,
as I say, my job is chronicling stupidity, and this is the far and away stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
And the road...
And it's still going on!
The road to hell is paved with good intentions, and that's exactly... You know, these people make these decisions, the elected officials, to try and, quote-unquote, protect us.
Well, one of my favorite little juxtapositions was California and New York simultaneously had rules. I forget which is which. One, you could go on the beach, but not the water. The other one, you could go on the water, but not the beach. And they were both claiming science as the reason for both.
Oh, Seton. And speaking of which, you wrote this column, The Left's Anti-Reality to Which We Must All Submit. So interesting. Could you tell us about it?
Yeah, I live in a constant state of agitation. It's just my nature. But it's been heightened, and I think a lot of people in America feel this. It's this, there's so much stupidity going on, and no one's doing anything to stop it. And what we're all experiencing, this agitation, this anger, this discomfort, is we're living in the world the left wants to create right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're advancing rapidly, and almost no one is doing anything to stop them.
Right.
And it's all over the place. I gave 7 or 8 examples, but I can give 8 or 9,000 more. You've got Andrew Cuomo stacking COVID patients like cordwood in senior citizen facilities, which led to 60% of the national deaths for COVID. And the media is treating him all over the place like he's this great. He's handled this better than anybody in the country.
Yeah.
He's the worst, and they're treating him like the best.
Yeah.
We've got defunding the police in major cities and pulling back of cops. Murder and mayhem ensues, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez comes out and says, oh, it's because people are stealing bread for their families.
Yeah.
If you don't want to freely associate, if you're a baker in Colorado and you don't want to freely associate with a homosexual wedding, they make you do it.
Yeah.
If you're a surfeit of nuns who don't want to pay for abortion, they make you do it. That's the world. We're getting a taste of life all the time under those conditions.
And did you notice that while they're trying to enforce all this stuff on us, they're all angry and upset and violent?
Well, that's because it's the left. They're never happy. You can't compromise with them. They're never happy. They're never, you know, they're never pleased. They're never, you know. It's funny. I have a leftist temperament. I just think their ideas are stupid. I just see all these examples. And the reason I thought, I mean, it was kind of there in the back of my head. And the reason I thought of it was, on July 11th, which I guess was a Saturday, this article comes out, and it's entitled, "Did Deregulation Save the Internet?" I thought, well, this is interesting. Somebody's actually defending reality here.
Mm-hmm.
No! I go to read the article, and it's some frickin' alleged tech expert saying that, in fact, despite the massive increase in traffic, the U.S. Internet was never in danger of crashing. And I'm like, yes, you moron, because it's been deregulated and they've invested $2 trillion in it and it could handle the strain.
Right.
Meanwhile, in Europe, before anything even happened, when they started the shutdowns, Europe's commissioner, the EU commissioner, came out and said, we've got to switch all video online from HD, high def, to standard definition to reduce the load by 25% because our networks can't handle it. And so here's the reality. The reality is, our networks, oh, and by the way, during the second quarter, internet speeds went up almost 20%.
Here in the United States.
Here in the United States.
Yeah.
So while we were handling completely unfettered the massive surge in internet use, not only did we handle it with no problem, but we increased speeds while we were doing it. Meanwhile, in Europe, they preemptively reduced traffic by 25% because they knew they couldn't handle what was going to come. And then this guy comes out on July 11th and writes an article that deregulation had nothing to do with it.
And, of course, you understand that if, in fact, Biden and his likes actually get into office, that's exactly what we can expect.
Well, they want to reimpose net neutrality, the Obama net neutrality power grab, which was a giant imposition of the government on the Internet. Yes. Yeah, they're going to get... Again, they're anti-reality. They don't like reality. There's nothing about reality they like because their worldview doesn't comport with it.
Right.
Human beings don't comport with their worldview, which is why they spent the 20th century murdering 100 million of us. Because we didn't do what they wanted us, what they thought we should be doing.
Yeah, that's why Biden wants to transform society as we know it.
But it's the same thing as Obama. I said this in 2016. Obama wanted to transform America. Trump wants to transform D.C. Guess which I prefer?
Yeah. Which reminds me, the Washington Redskins have to change their name.
You know, the old joke is, I had the picture on Facebook, social media for a long time. You just change it to a potato and you wouldn't have to change the name. Redskin Potatoes.
Right, I like that. I was thinking of Swamp Kings or something like that.
They're going to come up with some dumb... Look, they. I was there, you and I are D.C. people.
Right.
It used to be the Washington Bullets.
Basketball team, right.
And then Yitzhak Rabin was a friend of an Israeli official, was friends with Abe Poland, the owner of the Bullets. So when he got shot by a bullet, they changed the name, and they picked the dumbest name of all, the Wizards, the Washington Wizards. I guess they wanted alliteration.
That's right, I don't know. Yeah.
So I'm expecting a name just as dumb to come from this.
What?
And by the way, just in case you were wondering, Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, was named by a Choctaw Indian by combining two Choctaw words, red and people. So they don't mind. They use the phrase all the time.
Unbelievable. Seton Motley, again, the founder and president of Less Government. I encourage you to visit the website, lessgovernment.org. You can also visit Less Government on Facebook. Seton, always appreciate your very animated and entertaining and absolutely right on commentary. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure indeed. All right, coming up, we're going to visit with Emily Mooney. She's the resident fellow specializing in criminal justice and civil liberties at the R Street Institute. We're going to do that and more right here in the Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of the Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Do you or a family member suffer from chronic pain in your knees, hips, or shoulders? Joint pain can be a nagging and serious problem requiring expert and compassionate care. I know I'm Bob Harden, the host of The Bob Harden Show. Until 2006, I was suffering debilitating pain and deformity in my knees. I couldn't enjoy biking or golf or even sleep without chronic pain as a constant companion. Thanks to Dr. George Markovich and the professional staff at the Institute for Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine, my pain is gone and I'm back to doing the activities I enjoy with no pain. I have a lifestyle I could only imagine prior to knee surgery, and you can too. Call the Institute for Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine. They will thoroughly evaluate your condition, provide personalized, state-of-the-art treatment, and help you relieve your pain and get back to your active lifestyle. At the Institute for Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine, your care will be professionally managed through every phase of your recovery. For an initial consultation, call the Institute for Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine, located off Tamiami Trail in Bonita Springs, at 482-5399. That's 482-5399.
You listen to The Bob Harden Show, so why not market your company to our loyal listeners? Ads are played live on each show and then archived so listeners can hear the show and your ad at their convenience. Each advertising package includes a banner on bobharden.com with a link to your website at no extra charge. Join Lulabee's Diner, Johnson's Air Conditioning, Blue Provence, and many others who advertise on the show. Call me at 598-3889, that's 598-3889, or send an email to bobharden@hotmail.com. to design an ad program that's just right for your business and your budget. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the cost and the value. Several advertisers have been with me for years. Find out why by calling 598-3889 or send me an email to bobharden@hotmail.com. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by the Foundation for Government Accountability. I proudly serve on their board, creating policies and programs to get able-bodied folks off of welfare and back to work. You can find out more by visiting the website, thefga.org. We have with us Emily Mooney, as I mentioned before the break. She is a resident fellow at the R Street Institute, specializing in criminal justice and civil liberties. Emily, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I've not heard. Tell us about the R Street Institute. What it's all about?
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit public policy research organization or think tank based in D.C. Although we have folks based around the country who are working on state policy issues such as juvenile diversion, about which we're going to talk today. And really, we stand for free markets and limited effective government. And really, the criminal justice system is, unfortunately, one of the areas of government in which we can really see how overreach has actually harmed public safety and community health. COVID has helpfully helped begin some of these conversations, but now we really want to turn to all kind of levels of the criminal justice system and rethink our policies and ask, are we really achieving better public safety? And are we treating people with human dignity? And are we promoting free markets and economic vitality in our communities?
Yeah, great. Well, love the focus, Emily. Thank you for that explanation. By the way, I'm looking at the website right now. rstreet.org is the website, rstreet.org. So, Emily, you've been focusing on criminal justice reform for Florida, especially in the area of youth diversion. Maybe you can tell us about it.
Yeah, so youth diversion refers to programs and policies that steer kids away from the traditional criminal justice process. So in Florida, this specifically can happen when a police officer gives a young person a warning or a civil citation in lieu of an arrest, or when youth are referred to community-based diversion services rather than being detained or adjudicated. Now, unfortunately, Florida's black children are more likely than their white counterparts to enter the youth justice system. But we really think that diversion can work to resolve this disparity. So taking us back from the most recent year in which we kind of have this racial disparity data, black children were 3.1 times more likely to be arrested than their white classmates. And this is pretty alarming considering that national data suggests little evidence of racial differences in delinquency rates for the most common youth offenses, which is property and drug-related crimes.
Mm-hmm.
You have kids that are having a higher increased contact rate with law enforcement, but then that's when law enforcement has kind of an opportunity. Are they going to divert and give a civil citation? Are they going to give a warning? And then after that, DJS has an opportunity. Are they going to divert or send them through the process for detention and adjudication? So in fiscal year 2017-2018, black children were less likely to be diverted than white children at a rate that was 30% lower. And then prior research that actually has looked specifically at Florida suggests these lower rates of diversion often remain even when we consider factors such as how serious the crime was, that their, you know, law enforcement is coming into contact with them, and kind of other factors around their criminal history.
So, Emily, I think most people in Florida were aware about the Parkland shootings, what happened there. And I think the young man who committed this awful crime, this shooting spree in the school, had actually experienced some sort of a diversion. I think the problem, of course, is that he was just not arrested. There wasn't any kind of consequence in terms of helping him correct his behavior. In any event, maybe you could speak to that, because I think most people are aware of that.
Yeah, so I think it's important to understand who is eligible for diversion. Mm-hmm. Under the civil citation pre-arrest diversion program that Florida has, it's actually fairly restrictive in that they're really only looking at kids that could potentially be arrested for very low-level minor crimes. So as for the case with the Parkland shooting, I think really that is an exception to the rule. The civil citation diversion program in Florida actually boasts a recidivism rate as low as 4%. So 96% of the time, or 95-96% of the time, kids go on and they avoid a formal arrest record. They get the help they need, and they, you know, they're held accountable by the system, but they're not permanently damaged by that criminal record or, you know, detention, which actually has been linked to increased recidivism in the future.
Yeah.
And our statewide diversion services in Florida most recently reported an 11% recidivism rate. Now, both of these recidivism rates are much lower than the rates for youth on state-operated probation or in residential programs. So, yes, they're unfortunately in that case that youth benefited from a diversion program, but we don't have the we don't have an accurate comparison. I mean, if he was detained or adjudicated, we don't know if he would have done better. We don't have that counterfactual.
Yeah.
But we do know what the typical counterfactual is, and that is that youth are overwhelmingly more successful when they're diverted for these low-level crimes.
So, Emily, I would be curious in knowing, so that kids are not arrested, they go into an alternate program of some sort. Can you just elaborate a little bit on that? Because it's important to know that they actually, if they're not being arrested, they're somehow their behavior is getting corrected or addressed.
So it really depends on what form of diversion they are receiving. But for a civil citation, it allows youth to avoid a criminal record by instead they might do things such as community service. They might have to make restitution to a victim. They might have to attend classes like anger management or write a letter of apology. That is more of a light touch intervention, but also really trying to help the youth rectify that you did something wrong and that you need to show that your remorse for that act and carve out a better path. The Office of Juvenile Justice, they have a much more kind of formalized diversion process through their different community-based programs. And a lot of times those programs are focused on what are the factors that are promoting this, are really helping this youth make poor decisions. So whether that's something with substance abuse, whether it's something with mental health, they're going to be focused, or something just in kind of their family environment, they're going to be focused on really meeting the youth where they are and fixing those problem areas, because ultimately, while punishing people certainly can send them a message that what you did was wrong, helping them get the services they need and changing that mindset is going to help set them free and make sure that they get a second chance, but B, that they really have the ability to make better decisions in the future.
So Emily, I talked to a chief of police, I think it was at Oxnard, California, if I'm not mistaken, and he made this comment. He said, usually the first indication of mental health problems is getting involved in the criminal justice system. I would imagine some of these kids are probably just stuck in a bad place mentally or emotionally. Is that part of the program?
So yes and no. Just to give a couple of examples of when a civil citation specifically would be used, some of the religious leaders in Florida last year had a conference on Thursday, last week, and discussed a couple of instances. And there was one case in which a school resource officer arrested someone when he was 12 because he hugged someone in class who didn't want to be hugged. And this was an autistic kid. So, again, that is not, arresting an autistic kid for hugging someone you didn't want to be hugged seems like not the best response.
No.
Not the most loving or dignified response.
Right.
In another case, there was a kid who qualified for civil citations who was driving a dirt bike on the road. And so they were like, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, and they offered a civil citation. That seems somewhat reasonable.
Yep.
You shouldn't be driving your bike on a road. Those are kind of the sort of cases in which kids are allowed to, really participate in this pre-arrest diversion process.
See, this is so interesting. So is reform or is something happening important in Florida right now?
Yes. So two things. First, Senator Brandis of Pinellas County has actually stated that he wants to amend the pretrial diversion program and really the form that officers use when they're making an arrest, so they have to state why they chose to arrest otherwise eligible youth. So really clarify, because there's such a wide disparity in the utilization rate across the different counties in Florida of the civil citation program.
Mm-hmm.
You have Pinellas County that has over a 99% or around a 99% utilization rate, but then in Volusia County, they have around a 48%. So half the time, kids get that opportunity, even though they're eligible. And then Flagler County has a 41% citation rate. So if you think about that, that's like 60% of kids that are not getting that same opportunity that in Pinellas County, almost all of them are. So he wants to amend the form so that way they have more information about when officers think, hey, this isn't a good match for what happened to this young person. And also so that way their police supervisors can, you know, double check that. Maybe you have a newer officer on the force who's not super familiar with the program, you
yeah.
know, or maybe they saw something really intense the day before with youth violence, and they're not feeling very empathetic the next day.
Yeah. This is such a fascinating discussion. Unfortunately, Emily, we're out of time, so we can't continue the discussion right now. But I just genuinely appreciate this information, and I think to know that somehow, some way, juvenile justice is being reformed and kids are getting pointed in the right direction is really important. I just refer our listeners to your website, rstreetor.org. rstreet.org is the website. You can check out Emily Mooney. She's right there when you want to find out about the people there, when it says about. In any event, I just genuinely appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure indeed. Well, that's a wrap here on today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did. Always appreciate your feedback. If you'd like to receive and get on the subscriber list for the email for the that I send out after each show, you can go to bobharden.com, or you can send me an email at bobharden@hotmail.com. I hope you make it a great day on the Paradise Coast or wherever you are. Namaste.
Thanks so much for listening to The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network. For more information and audio files of previous shows, visit www.bobharden.com.